praise the Lord. Hallelujah. King of glory, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. We thank you for your presence and power working in our lives and situations. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for your outstretched hand fighting our battles, commanding your will to prevail in our lives. Thank you for how you move us forward. Thank you for how you strengthen us. Thank you for how you bless us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We say thank you, Lord, for everything you are doing in us to change us into the kind of person you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for the direction and guidance we receive at times from your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your light that is shining on our souls. Thank you, Lord, because you have caused us to grow mature in the knowledge of your will, even in the knowledge of you. You have helped us to be able to discern what is right from what is not right. And we know the things that pertain to your light. And we also know the things that pertain to darkness. And now you have given us wisdom to choose light in all situations. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for the helps we get through the teachings you sent to us in this ministry, especially these Bible study classes. Thank you for how you have been using these teachings to help us. Thank you, Father. We know the truth because you helped us to know the truth. And now we are free. We are in victory because of your truth in our lives. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that even as we would be having this class right now, let your presence fill this place. Let your mighty hand be upon every heart and mind and soul that will be listening to this teaching. I ask, O God, that you bind spirits of distractions and let the entrance of your word give life to everyone. Let the entrance of your word give understanding and edification to everyone that will be listening. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our request. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and we shall continue from where we stopped during the last class. You know that we have been dealing with the title or the broad topic that says building a strong discerning spirit. And we are still in part one of this teaching. And the part one says the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. And during the last class, I talked so much on the point that I called, on the point that says, your spirit holds the mysteries of immortality. So today, I will be moving to the next point. And the next point is, your spirit makes you a God. Your spirit makes you a God. A God as in small letter G. Yeah, we use capital letter G for the God of Israel, the God of heaven and the earth, the Almighty God. So, but I'm referring to small letter G of God. So your spirit makes you a God. Now, let me quickly describe what a God is in this context. A God in God's kingdom refers to someone who have been given power, authority, and dominion to carry out an assignment and do the assignment as though he is God, as though he is Almighty God. Yeah, let me repeat again. A God, as in small letter G, a God in God's kingdom, refers to someone who have been given power, authority, and dominion to carry out an assignment and to do the assignment as though he is God, he is Almighty God. Yeah, do you get it like that? So, which means that some of the angels in heaven can be called gods, like small letter G, which also means that you as a believer that has the Spirit of God in you, you can also be called a God, as in small letter G, because you have the Spirit of God in you. And because the Spirit of God that is in you and that is upon you can drive you to do things, and you'll be able to do those things as perfect and as accurate as though God is the one doing it. I mean, you'll be able to perform tasks for God here on earth, and you will do it as God doing it. Which means that if God were to be present, he wouldn't do it better than the way you would do it. I mean, if God were to be physically present in the earth, he wouldn't do those tasks or those missions better than the way you will do it or you have done it. Why? Because he has chosen you and he has put his Spirit in you and upon you to make you do exactly what he wants in the head. So that privilege is a God privilege, as in small letter G. So as I've said earlier, because of those of you who just joined, the new point we are talking about now is that your spirit makes you a God, small letter G. Your spirit, your human spirit, makes you God. Yeah. And I say that a God is a God in God's kingdom is a person that has been given power, dominion, and authority to carry out an assignment. And to do that assignment as though it is the Almighty God, the King of Kings, that is doing it. Yeah. So this the Spirit of God in you, or the Spirit of God in your spirit, or ruling over your spirit, controlling your spirit, makes you a God. Yeah, I repeat. The Spirit of God within your spirit and upon your spirit and controlling your spirit makes you a God. Yeah. And we're going to look at the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 34 to 36. John chapter 10. Verse 34 to 36. Yeah. You should also open to that place if you have your Bible right there. 34 to 36 of John chapter 10. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said ye are gods'? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God'?" Yeah. So you can see in that passage, the people were attacking Jesus. They were accusing Jesus of blasphemy because he said he is the Son of God. And Jesus was telling them that, is it not in your law? Is it not in the Old Testament that the word of God called some people gods? Yeah. And then he said, the word of God cannot be broken. So how then do you say that I am wrong for calling myself a son of God? You know, Jesus was telling them that, how can you say someone like me who have been sanctified by God and sent by God into this world to carry out a mission for him, how can you say that I am blaspheming for calling myself a son of God? Yeah, so this shows that we are, as Christians, we have that ability. We have that ability to do things on earth as though God is doing it, even though it is we, the people we see, they wouldn't see God. Yeah. They wouldn't see God. It is you they will see. But as they're looking at you, you are doing things that only God can do. Yeah. They are looking at you. Even demons are looking at you. Principalities, they are looking at you. Satan is, they are looking at you. And unbelievers, they are looking at you. Believers, they are looking at you. And then they are seeing you do, they are seeing you do things that only God can do, or things that only God could have done. So that is what I meant by your spirit makes you a God. Your spirit makes you a God. So which means that you can even create things. If God created the earth and the heavens, and God is still creating things today, it means even you, by the spirit of God that is in you, can as well create things. Yeah. You can create things. You can do everything that God can do. But there is a process to that. There is a part to that. Yeah. For those of you who have been following my teachings for some time, you should remember I have said something about, something related to what I'm talking about right now. Yeah. I mentioned it some time ago that the Lord spoke to me and said, you will need my spirit to do my work. I said it some time ago. You know, the Lord spoke to me and said, to do my work, you will need my spirit. Yeah, you can't do my work without my spirit. Yeah, when the Lord spoke to me that way, I thought he meant I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, or I need to have spiritual gifts. Yeah, which of course, he also meant that, but when the Lord explained what he meant by that statement, I now understood better how to do ministry or how to serve God on earth. Yeah, so he explained what he meant by, you will need my spirit to do my work. Yeah, so he said, if an animal that is not a horse. Yeah, every one of you know a horse. Yeah, people ride on horses. People travel on horses. Yeah, so he was telling me that if an animal that is not a horse wants to do what a horse does, that such animal will need the spirit of a horse to behave exactly like a horse, to run like a horse. So he was telling me that if a creature that is not an eagle is to behave like an eagle, all that creature needs is to be filled with the spirit of an eagle. So that spirit will make that creature behave exactly like the way an eagle will behave. So he was not telling me that, I mean, the Lord was not telling me that you need my spirit to do my work exactly the way I would have done it if I am here. Yeah. So from that time, I now understood that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not just to be able to speak in tongues. To be filled with the Spirit of God is not just to be able to see visions, to be able to, you know, to be led or to hear the voice of God. I see it as, I begin to see it as to be able to manifest as God on earth. To be able to do things only God can do. I don't know if you get my point. I don't know if you're understanding the point. Yeah, so the Lord was telling me, said, you need my spirit to do my work. Why? Because I want my work to be done exactly as I would have done it if I am here on earth. So which means that there is a transformation that the spirit does on those who have the spirit. Yeah, there is a transformation that the spirit does on those who are filled with the spirit. And if you are filled with the spirit and that transformation has not happened in you, you will still be limited in manifestation. Yeah, you will still be limited in doing the work God has given to you to do for him on earth as it should be done. So there must be a changing that must happen in you. You must change into the person that can manifest God in the earth. Yeah. So when you have been transformed, when that transformation has happened, that is when you can have this ability I'm talking about here. That is where we can say you are a God, small letter G, God. Yeah. When the spirit have changed you, yeah, to the point that you can now do exactly what God is doing on his throne in heaven. You can do the same on earth. Exactly. That is when you are a God. Small letter G, God. Yeah. I believe you understand now. Yeah. And remember I said there is a process to this. There is a pathway to this. But let us continue further. I will still talk further on that. Now, let us read the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus 7 verse 1. 7 verse 1. Yeah. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God, small letter G, to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Yeah, that is a very deep statement in that verse. Yeah. God speaking to Moses, God said, see, I have made you a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? It means that God wanted to do something in Egypt, something very powerful, something very terrible, something very judgmental in the land of Egypt. And God was not going to come physically on earth to do it. So he made a man, a human being like you and I. He made a man into a God to be able to do those things he has proposed in his heart. Yeah, and if you look at what God began to do through Moses after he chose him and spoke to him like that, you will see that Moses was performing signs and wonders before Pharaoh and before the Egyptians. Signs that have not happened before. Terrible signs, terrible wonders that shook the entire Egypt. Yeah, and not just one, not two. He was performing a series of signs and wonders. And he was doing it like he was doing it like the power is with him. Yeah, Moses was not doing those things like God. He was not doing them by faith. Yeah, he was not doing them by faith. He was not doing them like God, please, it is time for you to turn the river Nile, which is the river of Egypt. He was not saying, God, it is time for you to turn this river into blood. So now, please turn the river into blood. No. Moses was not praying like that before any of those miracles happened. Moses was literally doing it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. There's a realm of faith where you pray, trusting God, that He would stretch forth His hand and perform miracles. But there's another realm where you, by the Spirit of God, will be doing the miracles. Yeah, it's not God, it's not the angels doing it now. You know, when we pray with faith, it's either the Holy Ghost move or the angels move or God moves. Yeah, and then miracles happen. But this time around, it is you that is doing the miracle by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost has given you the power to do it. I don't know if you're getting the point. So that is what it means to be a God. So God gave Moses the ability and the power to do those signs. So Moses would just carry the rod, strike the ground or strike the water, and then the signs will appear, the wonders will appear. A lot of things he did. Yeah, so that is what it means to be a God. Yeah, but like I said, but just as I've said, there is a process and there is a path to this. There is a pathway to this. Now, if you look at Moses, you will see a man whom God has been monitoring for a long time. You know, at the time, Moses was actually living in Egypt. He was living in Egypt. In fact, he was living in the palace. He was living like one of the princes in the palace, because the daughter of Pharaoh adopted Moses. Yeah. So for a long time, Moses has been has been in training, if I can put it like that. Yeah, Moses has been in training. God has been working on him, preparing him for this time when he would be given a throne. So Moses was literally given a throne in the realm of the spirit to be able to do certain things on earth as though he is God. Yeah. To be able to speak and none of his word will fall to the ground. To be able to speak and whatever he says will come to pass. So Moses had been in process, has been taken through a process. God has been, you know, God took him through a process before this point. Yeah, so at the point he ran away from Egypt. to a faraway place. Yeah. And God was preparing him. I think God eventually called him, I think at the age of 75, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, I think that was when God called him. Yeah. Or maybe it was maybe later I'll confirm the age. But I knew it took time before Moses could become this person we read about in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Yeah, it took time. So maybe it was 70 years, 75, I'm not sure, or 80, I'll confirm. So in the same way, there's a process you have to go through. Yeah, there's a process you have to go through to the point where there's going to be a perfect alignment between your spirit and the spirit of God, a perfect connection between your spirit and the spirit of God, such that you'll be able to do things exactly as God will do them. Yeah. It is not easy to do things on earth exactly how God will do it. It is not easy. It is very difficult. Very difficult. Some people think they are doing things as it should be done. Yeah, but when God began to show them what exactly is the standard by which He wants them to do those things, they now realize that they have actually been doing rubbish for years. Yeah, so that is why there is a process. There is a process God will take you through. A process of death to your self, death to your flesh, death to your carnal desires, to your fleshly interest, your selfish interest. Yeah, there's a process of death you will go through. You know, the Bible told us that Moses was the meekest man in the world. That there was not a man on earth that is as meek as Moses. Have you read that in your Bible? Yeah. The Bible said there was not a man that was as meek as Moses. I believe Moses was not born like that. God changed him into that kind of person. Yeah. God changed him into that kind of person. I want to read somewhere for you in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 25. Hebrews 11, verse 24 and verse 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah. Do you now see that Moses went through a process before he could be called a God in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1? Yeah. So for years, God took that man through a lot of process. So secretly, God was training him. Secretly, God was changing him, was building him. Because God has a plan for him. He has an assignment for him. A very high assignment. A very high calling God had for him. And God was dealing with him for years. We don't know how many years. But at the time, he was assuming to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter, because Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. So, which is what many people would do. Let's say you are an orphan, you don't have a father, you don't have a mother, and somebody picked you up and adopted you. You will have to bear the surname of that person, or the name of that person. And also, as time goes by, you now realize that, oh, you were adopted by very rich people, because Moses was enjoying everything because he was inside the palace. He had access to 100% pleasures, both pleasures of good things and pleasures of sin. He had access to endless pleasure. He doesn't have problem with money. He doesn't have problem with landed properties. He doesn't have problem getting money, getting landed properties, getting riches, getting wealth, even getting respect and honor from people. He had everything. Yeah. He had everything because he was like a prince. Yeah. He was just like a prince. But as time goes on, because God was dealing with him, God was working in his heart. As time goes on, he began to refuse to be called a prince. He began to deny himself all the benefits that comes from the throne of Pharaoh. All the benefits that comes from the kingdom of Pharaoh, the kingdom in Egypt. He began to deny himself of those benefits. He began to reject those pleasures. Yeah, and he began to identify himself with the people of God, with the Israelites. Yeah. And at the point, he had to run away from the palace. Yeah. So you can see that something must have been happening in the soul of that man. Something must have been happening in his heart for him to make those serious and deliberate decisions. Yeah, imagine you were born in, let me use this as an example. Imagine you were born in USA, United States of America, or in one of these advanced and developed countries. And not only that, you were given citizenship, you had citizenship, you had access to a lot of money, free building, free land, and all of that. And then you say, no, I'm leaving this place. I want to be identified with the people of God in one village, in one place, maybe in Botswana or in one African country, maybe one village somewhere. I don't know the poorest African country. I know Botswana is not poor, but let's say the poorest African country. And then you said that there are some people of God in that place, and that is where I am going. Yeah, that was exactly what Moses did. To tell you that God had been working in him. Yeah, so if you want to be able to attain this height Moses attained, you know, that God said in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, God said, I have made you a God to Pharaoh. Then you must have passed several tests that God himself will put you through. Test that God himself will test you. You must have passed through several trials and temptations that God himself will subject you to. Yeah, so all your fleshly lust, fleshly interest must have died. Yeah, because I said it earlier, I said, it is not easy to flow together with the Spirit of God. Some people think it is easy, but it is not. Yeah. Because the Spirit of God is always flowing in a direction that has zero tolerance to the flesh, zero tolerance to your selfish ambitions, zero tolerance to your lust, your pride, your ego. Yeah. The Spirit of God is always following that direction. So and to flow exactly with the Spirit in that direction all the time, not maybe you flow that way 3 days ago or 1 week ago. I mean, you flow 100% with the Holy Ghost occasionally. I'm not talking about what just happened 3 days ago or 2 weeks ago. I'm not talking about what happens often. Yeah, I'm talking about what must happen always. That's what I'm talking about. That you are so aligned with the Spirit. You are so in tune with the Spirit. You are so connected with the Spirit, and you are always flowing together with the Spirit just like that, 24/7, every minute, every second. Is not something that a natural man that have not been transformed, a natural man that have not died to self can do. No. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, because some Christians, they feel like, oh, I am there. Is it the Holy Spirit? I have the Holy Spirit. Is it to minister in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I'm there. I can minister under the anointing. I can hear from God. I can do this. I can do that. And then, after a while, they start misbehaving. They start failing God. Woefully. They start failing woefully. And at a point, they enter into the realm of witchcraft. They start telling the Holy Spirit to go in their own direction. They start telling the anointing God gave them. They start telling that anointing to do exactly what they want and not what God wants. And that is the realm of witchcraft. So there must be a process, a breaking process, a making process that God will take you through. And through that process, you begin to change into the person that can do the assignment God wants you to do for him on earth exactly as it should be done. If you read more chapters in Exodus, you will see how the Bible will say, and Moses did exactly as God has instructed him to do. Yeah. You see where it says Moses, you know, Moses did exactly as God has shown him. He did exactly what God has shown him on the mountain. Yeah, so there was a training that brought him to that point. Yeah, so that is what it means to be a God. So every one of us can be gods on earth. Yeah, because even Jesus said it. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus said the same works that he did, that you and I will do the same. And then Jesus said greater works than what he did, he said we will do. Yeah. So which means that you can be God, you can be a God, small letter G, if you would surrender to the Lord to take you through the process. Yeah. I think I have also said this before. Yeah. I was concerned about seeing miracles happen in my ministry. Yeah, and I was telling God that, God, is it that you don't want to perform miracles in my ministry? Is it that you don't want to bless people? Or is it that I have to wait to a certain time before people get healed, people get delivered, people get blessed? And I was surprised at what God told me when I was asking him those questions. He said, I want miracles to happen in your ministry more than you want. He said, I want people to be blessed more than you want. Yeah. He said, I just want you to be broken. I want you to be broken down. I want flesh to die completely in you so that I'll be able to do what I want to do through you. Yeah, because as at that time I realized that if I pray for someone and the person doesn't have a testimony, the person doesn't experience a miracle, I become sad. I become sorrowful. I feel like, why is my prayers not working? Yeah, why is the person not getting the miracle? And, you know, and God told me that I feeling sad is wrong. That I feeling sad is a sin. Yeah, that it means that if eventually the miracles happen after I pray, it means I'm going to feel proud. It means I'm going to think myself as someone, I'm going to think of myself as someone special. Yeah, so he said, if it is no longer about me, if my ministry is no longer about me but about him, then if I pray for people and nothing happens, it should not change my emotions. I should not feel sad because it's not about me. Yeah. Because it's not about me, it's about him. So if miracles happen, I should not feel so proud or so boastful because it's not about me, it's about him. Yeah, so he said if I really I want to see the greatest manifestation of God on earth through me or through my ministry, then I must learn to completely come out of the picture. Like, I must disappear completely. So meaning that my life must no longer be about myself. My ministry must no longer be about myself. So I must be completely dead. That is when I can see the greatest manifestation of Him on earth. Yeah. So, and these things I've just spoken, these things I've just said, you might think it's just so easy. It's not just to die to self. It's not easy to die to self. So I now began to understand why it took me 3 years of training, years of discipline, years of breaking down my own will, breaking down my own desires, you know, for His own desires to rule my life. Yeah. So I believe God did similar thing to Moses. That was why they could call Him the meekest man, the most meek person on earth. You know what it means to be meek? Let me give you an example. Let's say you're walking on the street and then somebody from your back just uses legs to hit your leg and then you fell. You know, you don't know someone was coming from your back, and then someone just walked from your back, uses his leg to hit your legs, and then you just fell on the ground. Bah! And not only that, the person now began to give you some hot blows on your face. I mean, hot blows. Maybe like 15 or 20 blows on your face. And then after the person is done beating you, you just look at the person and then you just smile. And then you say, God bless him. I love you. After that public humiliation and beating, and then you just smile. I say, God bless you. I love you. Now, that is an example of what it means to be meek. Yeah, like, you don't retaliate. Yeah, you don't react negatively. Even when you have been hurt, even when someone hurts you. Yeah, so I believe Moses was not born like that. He went through a process. Yeah, so because God does not think the way humans will think, God does not reason the way humans reason. So to be in the same place God is, to flow in the same direction God flows all the time, something must have happened to you before that can happen. To begin to reason like God all the time, to always have the mind of God all the time, something must die. Something must have happened to you. You must have changed. You must have been transformed to a divine being, not a natural man. Yeah. And that was exactly what happened to Moses. Yeah. So you can be a God. That's the point. But God must have changed you. Yeah, because gods, they rule. Gods cannot be oppressed because they oppress. Yeah, gods create things. Yeah. There's no time to stress on that. To stress on that point more. Let's look at another scripture in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, verse 14. Daniel chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 14. I read, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. This is what Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, no, not Nebuchadnezzar. I think it was King Belshazzar. It was King Belshazzar, who was a son of King Nebuchadnezzar, talking here. So he was saying that he have heard of Daniel, and he have heard that the spirit of the gods is in him, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in him. So what does that king meant by spirit of the gods? So what he meant was that Daniel was able to do only what the gods does. Daniel was able to do things that only gods can do. I mean, if gods were to come in the flesh, he had that record in Babylon to have done things that only gods could do. So that was why the king said, I have heard that the spirit of the gods are in you. The same way Christians, I mean you and I, we should have records to have done or achieved things that only gods could do, only maybe angels could do. Things that only the Almighty God could do. And I said that this is possible by the Spirit of God. This is possible by the Spirit you have. You know, I said, when we started this part one, I said that the spirit that is in you is originally from God. Because it was the breath of God that made man live. So the spirit that is in you is originally from God. Now, that spirit can so much come alive. That spirit that is in you, I mean your human spirit, can so much become alive, so much become enlightened, so much become empowered, so much become transformed, that you can be that, you know, that it can make you a god. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you, can magnify your spirit man, can change your spirit man, can empower your spirit man, can give life and reality to your spirit man, to the point that you begin to do things on earth that are supernatural, are things that only God can do. Yeah. Because the Spirit of God is in you. So he can give reality to your spirit. And when this happens, even you will know that you are not ordinary. Like as I am now, I don't need anyone to tell me that I am not ordinary. I don't need any prophet or any diviner to tell me that I am not ordinary. I know that I am not ordinary. Yeah. And I know the abilities of God in me, things that I can always do that is not of this world. Things that I can always do that is not of this world. Yeah. And they are supernatural. They are strange. They are supernatural and they are real. And they produce results. Yeah. Why? Because I have attained that level of enlightenment and that level of glory. Yeah, to be able to function as a divine person on earth, even though I look like a human to many. But then, because of the awakening and transformation that have happened to my spirit, I could function like a God. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to show you. So every one of you can do likewise. Yeah. That is if you will allow the Holy Spirit in your life. If you will allow the operations of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, it can literally turn you to a God that demons will be afraid of you. Principalities will be afraid of you. Yeah, you can, you know, step into situations and within 1-2 minutes, you already have control over the situation. And everybody wonder what you did. Because before you step into the situation, everything was upside down. Everything was just like scattered. Everything was confused. And then you just came in and then within 1-3 minutes, everything is now at peace. And then everything is now under your control. Why? Because you have gotten dominion over the powers that rules in the affairs of men. You have gotten dominion over the powers controlling times and seasons. So that is why you could come into situations and then those powers, they see you and then they run. And then immediately everywhere is at peace. And those that were confused, immediately now they began to see the light. Yeah. So that is what that is exactly what I'm saying. So if you can allow the Holy Spirit in your life, there is so much you can become in the kingdom of God. Even right here on earth, there is so much you can change to. So much. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be those that carry big, big titles. You just have to remain a Christian and then you are a powerful figure, both in the physical realms and in the spiritual realms. You become a terror in the realms of darkness. And you are able to decree and it will happen. Yeah, so these things are possible. if you really want to pursue them, they are possible. I mean, so possible. And I am a living witness to what it means to be a God on earth. To be a God on earth for God, for the Almighty God. So you can be a God on earth for the Almighty God. Not that people will be serving you. No, I've explained. I've defined what a God in the kingdom of God means. It means that you are on earth enforcing the will of God on earth. Just the way God would have done it if God was here. So meaning that you could look at a witch that have refused to repent, and then you could tell that witch and say, "You witch, if you don't repent, in 3 days you will die." And in 3 days that witch will die. Because you said it. Yeah, just because you said that someone, I mean, just because you said, you know, you uttered that statement, it will happen exactly as you have said it. Why? Because you have been given that dominion. Did you remember what happened when Paul was on his mission field? Yeah, Paul was preaching to one man. I think he was a politician or a government government leader. I don't know. But that man has a position in the government. So Apostle Paul was preaching to him. And then there was this man who was a magician or a sorcerer. And that man was saying, don't listen to this man. They are telling you lies. And then Paul just looked at that man. And then Paul cursed that man. I don't know if you have come across that place in the scripture. Paul looked at that man and then Paul cursed the man. He said that man will be blind for a season, for standing against the gospel. And instantly, the man went blind. Yeah. To tell you that you have authority in Christ as a Christian. You know, you have authority to do strange things on her. Yeah. Powerful things on her. But you know the problem with the church of today, the problem with the Christianity of today is because, you know, the problem of today's Christianity is that we have embraced darkness. We have turned away from the Lord. We have been so captured by materialism. We have been so captured by the pleasures of this world. Yeah, and we are not willing to follow after the standard of the kingdom of God as it is. Yeah, so some of us, we are trying to put, you know, we're trying to hold the things of this world, and then we want to at the same time hold the things of the kingdom of God. It can't work like that. You cannot hold light with one hand and then want to hold darkness with another hand. It's not possible. So we have not been consistent with God. This generation have not been consistent with the will of God and with the path of God's kingdom, with the standard of God's kingdom. That is why some of you are even still doubting if God is powerful, if God is more powerful than witchcraft or not. That is why you are still doubting if your God is able to do certain things for you or not. It's because something has happened to your soul. You have been deceived. And you are being controlled by the forces of this one. Yeah, you are still in love with darkness, and yet you don't want to leave the light, but and you are still in love with darkness. You want to enjoy darkness and then you want to enjoy light at the same time. It doesn't work like that. So this, among many other reasons, is why many of us have not attained this level of divine dominion that Christ has freely given us. This level of becoming gods on earth. Yeah. That is the reason. Because we have not fully surrendered to the Lord. Yeah. And we are not paying the price. We are not denying self. Yeah, we are not doing what God wants. We serve money. We are not serving God anymore. We serve sex. Serve pleasures of sex. Serve, some people are serving marriage. And many elements of this world. They are not serving God anymore. Yeah, so that is the problem. Now, let me read another scripture. Then we'll round off. Let me read the book of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 verse 11. Yeah, Daniel chapter 2, verse 11. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can shew it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh. Now, this is what the wise men, the Chaldeans, the magicians, the astrologer of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what they told him. When Nebuchadnezzar told them that, I want you guys to tell me the dream that I had at night, which I forgot. And not only that, you will tell me the dream that I had, you will also tell me what that dream means. So the wise man said, it is very rare that any king will ask his wise men or magicians or astrologers this kind of thing. Yeah. This is, you know, they said, there is none other that can shew it before the king. He said, only the gods can show this kind of a thing. Only the gods can tell you the dream you had in the night that you forgot and what it means. And not only that, and they said, the gods don't have dwelling with the flesh. He said, the gods don't live among men. They are not flesh and blood. Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Some of you are familiar with that story. Now, did that request of Nebuchadnezzar, or was that request of Nebuchadnezzar not eventually granted? Was there not a man that was used by God to grant that request? There was a man, and that man was Daniel. Yeah. So what only gods could do, the Almighty God through Daniel was physically doing it in Babylon. And Daniel make the kingdom of God famous in the land, to the point that the king said, everyone should respect and honor the God of Daniel. Yeah. So, believe that God can, through your whole life, make his name great and his kingdom famous in the earth. Do you believe that? I want you to believe that. Yeah. If God can do it in Daniel, can do much more in you. Because even now, the Spirit of God is in you. If truly you have been saved, yeah, He can do even much more in you. Yeah, I'm going to round off with this before we pray. If there is any, if you have any question, you can be typing it. Yeah, I'm going to round off with this. Now, recently, I was asking God, why He would bless some people and not bless some other people. Why He will visit some people and not visit some other people. Why is it that some people are having testimonies of His power and yet other Christians are not having testimonies of His power? Yeah. And he told me, he said that that there is no partiality with God. Yeah. And that God is no respecter of persons. Yeah. He said, whatsoever a man sow is what that man will reap. Yeah. So he said, those that did not get His visitations and His blessings and His helps, despite that they prayed, he said, it's because they have not been faithful in their walk with Him. Yeah, that is why things that should have happened in their life, things He should have done in their lives, is not happening. Yeah, so he said that no matter how great his move will be on earth, I mean, no matter how great a revival will happen on earth from heaven, that there will always be a sign separating those that are faithful from those that are not faithful. That it will always happen that God will always reward people according to their faithfulness to Him, to their commitment to Him. Yeah. That, which means that no matter how anointed a man of God is, it doesn't mean if you go to him for prayer, it doesn't mean God will move through him to help you. He might lay hands on you and then you fall down the anointing, and then next week the problem comes back, or the problem never goes. Yeah. Yeah. Or the sickness gone and then comes back. Yeah. Why? Because God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows is what he will reap. So if we are telling you, live a holy life, don't embrace the system of this world. Be committed. Be obedient. Walk with God. Serve God. Please God. Be sacrificial. Do fastings. Do long hours prayers. So if I'm telling you, do this, do that, because God wants to use them to change your life, and then you feel like, I don't have to do that, I don't need to do that, I'll be fine even if I don't do that. Maybe I should just go to another pastor. Maybe that pastor have the anointing that can help me. You'll be surprised that You can be nursing a problem for the next 15, 20 years just because you have chosen not to follow the word of God as it is, and not to follow the will of God as it is. Yeah. So just like I have said in this teaching, that you can be God. You can be a small God. You can walk in power. You can walk in authority. You can walk in dominion here on earth. Just because you have a spirit. Just because you have a spirit means you can be a God on earth. Because you can be God by that spirit that is in you. And by the spirit of God that is in you. Yeah, and then you feel like this kind of teaching is for apostles. It's for those that have calling. So I'm not going to put my mind on that. I'm not going to pay the price for that. I don't need to seek God for that. If your approach to this teaching is like that, I mean, if you approach this teaching with that kind of a mind, then nothing will happen to you. And probably maybe in the next 5-10 years, still nothing will happen to you. And the same witchcraft in your father's house, in your mother's house that have been oppressing you, will continue to oppress you even for the next 5-10 years. Why? Because you have chosen not to respond to the message of the truth the way you should respond. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Let us pray. Yeah, since there's no question, let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have shown us. And thank you for more you will still show us. Thank you for such a great love you have for us, that you want us to advance, you want us to grow, you want us to improve, and you want to change us into divinity, from humanity to divinity. Thank you for this great love you have for us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I ask that you help as many who are now having hunger in their hearts, passion in their hearts, to seek you for more, having been told that there is more in your kingdom. Oh Lord, I ask that you begin to visit as many with such hunger, as many of you that are now having the hunger and thirst to seek for more that is in God and in God's kingdom. I pray that you will be visited by the Lord in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will be visited even by the angels of the Lord in the name of Jesus. I pray that the glory of heaven shall visit your life and shall change you into that person that you are meant to be. In the name of Jesus. Henceforth, you shall walk in dominion. The same weaknesses that have been ruling over you, they shall now begin to fail in your life. You shall no longer be weak. Just as God is not weak, you shall not be weak. Even when your body and your mind feels weak, you will still not be weak in the name of Jesus, because from within you shall rise the strength of the Lord, and you shall begin to rule over your enemies. You shall have dominion, and your dominion shall remain forever in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, it is done. Amen.
Goodbye.